Adrian, I'm an addict. Oh boy, the opening meeting, oh my God, you know. This program is so awesome. Every time I think about the miracles that continue to happen in my life, but I want to thank the committee for even thinking of me to come share my experience, strength, and hope. I still get so excited about being in Narcotics Anonymous and sharing my experience, strength, and hope. At a convention with all you people, oh my God, y'all are my people. But one thing I love about our theme, the theme of this is so awesome. Recovery is then possible. And what keeps coming in my mind is if, that two-letter word, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to do it. These, the principles that made our recovery possible. I came from the Farragut Projects in Brooklyn, New York. Little did I know, while I was growing up, I grew up in an era with Sly and the Family Stone, I Wanna Take You Higher, Psychedelic Shack. You know, I grew up with them songs that talked about just, you know, taking you outside yourself. Little did I know when I began using, I thought it was fun. Oh my God, it was fun. Everybody in the neighborhood, we smoked weed. Little did I know I had a disease. I didn't know nothing about what is a disease. Little did I know it was progressive and curable and fatal. Little did I know it would take me places on a journey that I never thought I would get off. Little did I know at some point when I was using, I just couldn't stop. So, you know, the thing that's so important about this Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, before I got here, my disease went through the levels of progression. You know, I used to read them books back in the day, them Donald Goins books on Pimp Baby and all that other stuff. And sometimes when I think about my story, I think about how the progression of how I used just went into those phases. Of course, getting high was fun. Like I said, the songs were all about getting high. And I would just live to use and use to live. Now, I got that when I got here. Little did I know, when I began to do hypodermic needle, let me tell you something. They say we don't have a drug of choice. I had a drug of choice. I had a choice, and I loved nodding. I loved being able to get a good nod in. Oh my God. I'd wake up and everything would be all right. You know, little did I know where it would take me, the progression of how I use and just to keep doing it, and then to invite people in my life that live like me. No, I got clean with my husband, Michael. We met at a college dorm party. He fell in love with me, I fell in love with him because he was smoking a joint and I was such a phony. I thought, I was like, that was Panama Red or some shit like that. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was weed. He said, I like that girl. And that took us on a journey that only something greater than myself could have intervened. Only something that I had to call on when I knew that the progression had kicked in. Only something that I couldn't even imagine that would take me to places that I thought I was better than being there, and then when I got there, they wanted me to get the F out. I loved going to cop. Copping was a joy for me. To be able to go to the spots, the adrenaline, the excitement, the whole thing, the cops coming and you know, being able to like, you know, tell them to let me, they tell you to shut up and you can't have singles and all that other stuff. All of that was part of the insanity of my using. The disease of addiction. Something I didn't know, something I couldn't even verbalize. And through all of that, through using while I was pregnant, you know, one of the things that I realized about my story is that your story is your story. If you're in here and you knew, don't think you don't have a story. I knew I had a story when I got here, but I didn't know how the story would come out. I didn't think I was no better than, you know, I don't want to digress, but if you're new, you are the most important person at any Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And no, you earned your seat. Because our literature says we had a major problem with drugs. So if you think your problem wasn't major, you just keep coming. Your problem was major. My problem was major, because I knew the way I used. I didn't know that it was the disease of addiction. I just knew anybody that sticks hypodermic needles in their bodies while they're pregnant, anybody that takes a 2-hour lunch break. Listen, I had a job. I would take a 2-hour lunch. It's only through the grace of God that I kept that job. You know, when you work for the municipality of the city of New York, they tolerate a lot of addicts, and I was one of them. And I would go on the lunch break, and it would be a big joke when I came back. They'd be like, look at Adrienne when she comes back. Because I would go on the lunch break kind of on E, and I'd come back, and I was one of those addicts. When I use, I start cleaning, I start dancing. You know, I was one of them heroin addicts. In my family, my mother always knew, she said she on that shit again, because I start taking ashtrays and wiping stuff. And so the progression of being able to have a job that tolerated all of that, it's only, like I say, through something greater than myself that that could have even happened. It's only through something that could have intervened to stop all of that. It's only through something that this program has to offer, like I said, that two-letter word, that if you want what we have to offer. So by the time I made it to the detox, I had used through pregnancy, I had used through working, I had used through all life events. I wind up in a detox in New York City. And in that detox, it was in 1985, it was the summer of 85, and there was a counselor there, and her name was Cindy. And I remember she said that Jimmy Keenan Kay had just passed away, and he was her sponsor. And she talked about how, you know, the stuff that he gave her, and she also was sharing how if you go to a convention and you're new, how you'll be like the most important person. And I was sitting in that detox, and when you're sitting in these programs, sometimes they try to tell you only one is gonna make it. I didn't even listen to all of that, because in my head, I knew I wanted to use one more time. See, I wasn't listening as they brought up the message, the hospital institutions I'm so grateful for. They brought up the message that said an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. My attraction to the message when I was in detox, they came up there and they had jewelry on. All I could see was the gold. I said, they cannot be getting high. Because when I bought gold, me and my husband, it was to pawn. We got our wedding bands based on the weight, because we knew we were putting them in the pawn shop. So when the H&I members came up with the gold, that was my attraction. My attraction was that I can get gold again. But I said I wanted to use one more time. I wasn't listening to one is too many, a thousand never enough is the first one. So I left that detox and I used. And I came to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And for the first time in my life, I couldn't nod the way I wanted to. I wanted to laugh. Y'all were in meetings laughing like the way we laugh now. Oh, people tell their story and we laugh at the most craziest shit. And that's why I love y'all. And that's what I wanted to do. So eventually, I realized I had to stop. And you know, in the literature it says we stop and then we go through the pain of withdrawal. Because once you stop, the reality of what is happening in the world opens up your eyes. The reality of being able to hear music, the reality of being able to taste food, the reality of being able to have sex and enjoy it, the reality of things that happen when you stop using, how the sun just shines a different way. So listen, when I got here, I had hair. So don't get nervous, newcomers. You might not lose your hair, but some body changes will occur. And when it left, I said, no hair, no motherfucking care. You just keep coming, no matter what. And so as I began on this journey of being able to not use and make meetings and get a sponsor, and me and my husband, we was together using, and we got clean. They said, don't make no major decisions. But we both, ooh, y'all started looking good. I could see clearly now, the rain had fallen. I could see things clearly. So we were like, we didn't know what we wanted to do if we wanted to stay together, but we stayed together through this journey. We were so crazy and stupid, we had the same clean date. We were too dumb to have planned that. Again, I'm telling you, it has to be something greater than myself that could have even planned something like that. We went through the NA journals, the gossip, the whole craziness, because you know when you knew you, I was clean and crazy. Making meetings, going to conventions, dancing, having fun. My children started growing up in this process, being able to come to conventions, being able to go on airplanes, being able to go in hotels, being able to travel, go into swimming pools. Just, you know, when you get clean in Narcotics Anonymous, the sky is the limit. Anything you want to do. I was able to still stay on that job. Oh my God, I was able to get promotions. All of the things that I always wanted. I used to look out the window when I was using and I would see people going to work and all I would think to myself was that one day I want to do that. I just wanted to have some orange juice in my refrigerator. Because in my refrigerator, it was sometimes it'd be a little methadone. Because you know, I was seeking how to stop using before I stopped using. But I hadn't found Narcotics Anonymous. And at one point during my using, I had bought books, vitamins, all kinds of stuff. I went to see hoodoo people, and I remember one time me and my girlfriend, her mother sent us to this lady, and she was burning stuff and candles and all this other stuff, and we were like, yes, yes, yes. And when we left, we went to get one more right after we left. It wasn't enough. We know countless, you know, psychiatrists, you know, therapists, all kinds of stuff our literature talks about. You know, and the journey continues, it talks about how we will be called on to share our story over and over again. Because there's something about being able to know who you are when you come here. When I say, my name is Adrian, I'm an addict, I have this disease of addiction. It's been arrested because of y'all in Narcotics Anonymous. It's been arrested because y'all have the same kind of thinking I have. It's been arrested because the issues are in the tissues. It's been arrested. It's been arrested because of y'all, to being able to be connected to something so greater than myself, to be able to go on this journey. So again, I talked about how me and my husband used together, got clean together, and stuff started happening in his life, and he started getting sick. Because you know what happens in here, this is a physical, mental, spiritual malady. So when I got clean, I went for checkups. I started having issues with the body because the body had used narcotics for so long. And he had to have a liver transplant. And we went to Miami and we got the liver transplant. And during the process of going through all of that with my husband, at one point while he was in the hospital, he left the hospital because his mind had gone. And you know, in Miami, in that hospital, you could walk outside because the weather's nice. So they let patients be walking around the grounds. So he was wanted to get out of there. After these people that gave this man a liver, he wanted to leave. So when he left, one day he left, I came up there, he was able to get out, and all I could think of when they were looking for him, I was so scared. I said to myself, oh my God, where is he? He was on the grounds, walking around, and at one point I was screaming and crying. My children were grown. I called my daughter, I told her what was happening, and I sat down at one point, and I said, I'm gonna be a rich bitch. They let my hospital leave this place. Now, you see how y'all clapping and stuff? I said that shit to his family. They looked at me like I was crazy. But in Narcotics Anonymous, we laugh at the most craziest shit. We identify with stuff like that. We're able to share stuff that you cannot share anywhere else, and we get identification on a level that you would never ever believe. And that's one of the reasons why I stay here. I stay here because there's nowhere else I can go to enjoy this wonderful life I have. There's nowhere else I can go to get people to sit and fucking listen to you like they want to hear what you got to say. There's nowhere else I can go to be able to be with people, race, creed, religion, lack of religion, that have the connection of being in this fellowship and knowing that no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, you're not alone and you'll get through whatever it is. Nowhere else can I go. Nowhere else can I be. Nowhere else do I want to be. So I talked about the journey with my husband with the transplant and it got back and so forth and so on. And when the pandemic hit, my husband, you know, we tried to stay safe and we did to the best of our ability, but he got COVID. And when he got COVID, because of his situation, he passed away in 2021. He moved on, and it's been a grieving process for me. I was with this man for 45 years. We were married for 39 years. But one of the things that has helped me get through this journey is that I'm never alone. When they tell you in A that you're never alone, believe that shit. And excuse me for cursing, I got a potty mouth. You know, in my home group, listen, in my home group in New York, and no, I'm in Atlanta now. In my home group, Just Say No, the West End group, they have no cursing. So I go to a lot of other groups so I can get that shit out. So whenever I'm sharing, I say, I gotta let you know. Every now and then, you need a good motherfucker, you need a good something. So, you know, I hope you're not offended. Because some people, they get offended, especially old timers. And one of my members said, they were cursing. I wanted to say, shut up. You know what I'm saying? We ain't in church. This is a spiritual program. This program will wake up your spirit. This program will open you up to the sky is the limit. This program will have you with no hair, no care, no legs, no arms, no motherfucking mate. This program will have you no job, no money, but you'll make a meeting you won't use. This is the program that my higher power brought me to. Because when we do our readings, it says NA is a fellowship of men and women who drugs have become a major problem. It says our program is a set of principles written so simply we can follow them in our daily life. The simple program of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to be able to be in the how, to be able to be here with y'all. Y'all look so motherfucking good out there. I swear to God. You know, when you get clean, when you get clean, when I got clean, the old timer told me, when they say you looking good, they're telling you you can't use. And so this has been my journey, y'all. My journey, like that piece of literature, the journey continues to grow. I continue to be a part of a community of men and women. I have a job, and you know, so many things I've done since I've been clean. If you wanna do anything, you wanna be a dancer, you wanna sing. Me and my husband bought the house that I live in right now before he transitioned. At 65, I bought a house. And most people say don't do that. Don't listen to what anyone tells you not to do when you're clean and narcotics anonymous. Go back to school. I'm getting married again. I don't know when, but I'm getting married. And let me tell you, I got, because I'm the married type of girl. And so what happened was, I kept calling on my husband to help me because they say you could call on the dead to help you. And it was so funny, I met a guy with the same name as his, and I started laughing. I said, you motherfucker, you want me to call your name? I can't believe that shit. I met a guy with the same name. I said, now, come on now, Michael. What is this? So when we be doing it, I'll be like, Michael, 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 Michael. So be careful what you ask for. You never know how it's gonna come. And that's what I love about being in this program. That's what I love about who I am today. I celebrated 40 years clean in August. 40 years. One day at a time. 1 minute at a time. Like I told you, I'm still going through the grieving process, but I don't use. I came here alone. I have sponsees, I have friends, but something said, you're not alone. You're not alone. You can come here. You're not alone. I'm not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Reach out and touch somebody. And no, you're not alone. I'm not alone. You're not alone in Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes it can feel lonely, but you're not alone. You're one text away, one phone call away, one meeting away. I'm never alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You know, in this program, there's principles that give us this power so greater than ourselves. It says, call on this power no matter what. So a lot of times when I'm going through the grieving process of thinking that I'm alone, because I'm not alone. You're not alone when you're in NA, and NA means never alone. You got somebody, get somebody, touch somebody, be somebody, know that you're not alone. I ask God, I call on, I say, God, that power is so greater than myself. God, that power that you talk about, so greater than myself, that has restored me to sanity, that has me look, you know, I look normal. If you're new in there, you're not normal. In the dress for today, we're not normal. I think it's not the same. In my neighborhood, I look so normal. I'm the bald head lady that takes my garbage can down to the curb. I'm the bald head lady that pulls into the driver's space. I'm the bald head lady that calls my neighbor and says, I'm going out of town again. I'm the lady in the neighborhood that is known for being able to have people pull up in the driveway and we just sit around and have an N.A. good time. Because in the Fellowship of N.A. acting, I'm one of those meeting makers. I have the meeting before the meeting and after the meeting. One of my husband's our biggest fights when he was alive was, I fellowship too much. Because I love talking after the meeting. I love being able to be there for the newcomer, to be there to let you know that no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, you don't have to use. You just keep coming back. If you're new, you relapse, keep coming back. 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 You're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. I'm never alone. I always have you. I always have you. You're in my heart. You're in my heart. I can feel you. I love talking to the newer member. You keep the memory of what it is and what it's about to let me know that one day at a time, I'm never alone, that I always have you. I like to talk about reach out and touch that person. You never know. You don't know who you're sitting next to, how your connection is. Listen, when my husband was transitioning in the hospital, my sponsees planned and came and saw me the week before my husband transitioned. They didn't know, I didn't know. They came and surprised me. This is the kind of stuff we do for one another. You know, before my mother transitioned, because I've had death, listen, life on life terms shows up. All kinds of stuff shows up, but you don't use. Before my mother transitioned, right, I used to go to conventions, I used to want her to listen to the tape. Ma, listen. She said, them people, they cursing, and so, you know, she didn't get it, right? And you, they won't get it. And so it was afterwards, before she transitioned, she said, them people in that fellowship, they got more spirituality than them in the church. I ain't gonna say what she said, because it might offend some people. But she knew that the spirituality that we carry in this program is so awesome, so great, that I pray for everyone that is not here yet to come on in here. I pray for my son. My son's named after his father, Mike Jr. He smokes weed, got autistic children, life unmanageable, and he still don't get it. But I continue to be the hope. So you, when you're the hope for somebody, you never know what they're gonna hear. They may not hear from you, but they're gonna hear it. So I continue to pray for him. I continue to pray for anybody because I was prayed up in here and I'm grateful that I'm here. So I love this area. The San Fernando, how the hell you say it? San Francisco. You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Y'all are some bad mama jammers. Y'all sitting here just like, I was telling them, they was giving me the time. I said, we don't have that much of an attention span. So don't be telling people how long they could talk. I usually like to say, whenever I feel it's shutting down, shut the fuck up. Because somebody else can come and say something. But I'm like, again, I want to thank everybody for having me. I feel like the connection has been made. I feel like the love has been made. I'm just so grateful. They say a grateful addict will never use. So I'm grateful. 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 I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. Get grateful. Get grateful. A grateful addict will never, ever, ever. ever. Want to smoke a joint, take a pill, stick a needle, smoke a pipe. And if you get old in here, when you go to the doctor, they're the new pusher. Because when you walk in there now, before you can even leave, they're writing a script to CVS. But I break my anonymity to them to let them know that my body don't know the difference. So no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, I want to thank y'all for being a part of my wonderful journey in the California, what's the Burbank area? Everybody was like, Burbank, that's where they have those game shows, right? I said, I don't know. I just know the weather is beautiful, the people are beautiful, the love is here, so I'm going to keep coming back no matter what. I don't use, and I'm never alone, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Thank you, God.
All right, you guys, let's thank our speaker tonight, Adrian W. from Atlanta, Georgia. Let's also thank everybody who read tonight. And the meeting's not over yet. We're going to pray out. I'd like to call up Kenzie to read just for today and close us out with the third step prayer.
Me on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in AA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Thank you, guys.
All right, and after a moment of silence, we're going to circle up and pray out with the third step prayer. Moment of silence, please. Many addicts have said,